Good morning.
Oh.
Hi.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Hi.
Think we have a good group assembling. Let's give it another minute or two, and then we can start.
Hi.
Paul, do you want to do the kickoff? I'm about 2 minutes from my desk.
Yes, I start. Hi,
Awesome.
everybody. I'm searching for the agenda. One moment, please. So, note taking is today, Martina Schitz. Thank you for note taking. And for next time, is there someone willing to help out on the 23rd of February for note taking? Ah, thank you, Steve. Wonderful. Great. Okay. So let's start with agenda. Today, thank you, Kate, that you are here for the treasurer report, and I give some mic to you. But you're muted.
I
Ah,
got it now.
yes.
Sorry. Hold on. Course, it's always when I unmute that I need to cough. I'm going to pop a link into the chat in case you want to follow along, but I will also be sharing my screen so you can look at the spreadsheets with me. So there's that. And now I will share that. Okay, so your face is all moved, so if you could just give me a minute to try and move the bar again so that I can see you all. Okay, so here we go. This first tab is our monthly actual tab, and I have about 88% funded for membership fees for this fiscal year, and I am anticipating to start getting our technical support funds in from EBSCO within the month, giving us about $374,000 in total actual income. We're spending, as we do at the rate. We're under estimates, which I will show you in just a moment. Giving us $85,000 in the green. So we are covering our expenses this year at this time, still with income that we are making in this year, which is great news. So now I have more reasonably good news for you. I'm going to move to the monthly estimate tab. In this tab, I used gray italicized numbers to estimate out what we would be spending for the rest of the year. So, in this model, we have met all of our membership fees, and I'll explain why it's a little bit over in a moment. and we've received all of our EBSCO technical support fees, giving us a total annual income of about $460,000, which is $25,000 more than we projected. And then if you go down to the second portion, which is our expenses, these are all of our expenses. And our expenses as of right now, my estimate has us being about $500,000, meaning that our income for this year will be exceeded by our expenses by $42,000, which is actually good news because we had anticipated, my projection was that we would be about $100,000, in a difference from what we were taking in versus what we were spending this year. So that's great. And there's a couple things that I can highlight to show why we are like that. So first off, as I just mentioned before, we made about $25,000 more than we were anticipating. So that's great, and that contributes to it. The next thing is that our spending is overall under what I had projected for us. So the biggest one is the AWS costs. And I tried to take notes in chat in little comment boxes here. So if you want to go back and look at it, you can understand why. So for AWS costs, I estimated us to spend about $380,000, or which is a little bit over the $30,000 a month that the AWS cost group was charged to keep our finances at. And I did that. I gave us that extra little bit because sometimes we overspend a little bit, right? And I wanted to make sure that we were covering it, being conservative. So I'm happy to say that the AWS cost group is doing an excellent job at keeping our costs under $30,000 a month, which means that we have an estimate of about $50,000, that we will not be spending from the projection here. The Equinix costs, if funding stays at the rate it is, we will come in at 400, sorry, 400 under my estimate for that. We will not have this cost next year. As you're probably aware, the technical council is working on a migration solution for this, and I did link what I have as information for that. So in the comments here, if you want to follow up on that. And then also with our GitHub costs, we're going to be about $320, under if spending continues at the current rate. So those are our big ones that I'm happy to say we're coming in under at. So we will still be spending more than what we made in the fiscal year, but it's far less than we had anticipated. I can take some questions here, and then I will go and talk about our money market account to explain some of the carryover funds. Does anyone have any questions about my estimates at this time? Try and find the chat. All right, I think I gave it enough of an uncomfortable silence, but of course, if you do have questions, let me know. So I'm going to move us on in our spreadsheet here. I'm going to move to the money market account tab. So this is where I track our money market account, which is where we took our rainy day fund, our deposit of $180,000, and we put it into this money market account. And then Scott Anderson and I from the Open Library Foundation, whenever we have income that comes in, we try and pull it into this money market account to keep it nice and safe and to generate interest for us as we, you know, go along. So I try to keep track here of like our annual percentage. That they are giving us as an interest as our interest rates. So that's in column C. But over here, where I will highlight, you can see that we have made about $7,000 in interest this year. So when I take our standing amount from the end of January, which is about $360,000, and I remove the $180,000 reserve fund, we have about $179,000, left as our carryover, our actuals. And if I remove the estimated $42,000 that we will go over in our expenses this year, that leaves us with $136,000 as our estimate for our carryover. So this is our padded money on top of our padded money, right? Because our reserve fund is $180,000. This is our little bit extra that we can obviously draw from in cases like this when we are spending more than we are taking in. So now that I've had that money market, does anybody have any questions on that fund? Okay. So, I think I've hit the main highlights. I'll click on the income details tab just to give you some visuals and some numbers. I track here who's paid so that, if you for ever any reason want to know if your organization has paid, you can look on the income details because I try and update that every month. So I also have membership by level here. And so again, I try and keep this in alignment with the information on our membership spreadsheet that's maintained by the other officers. But let's see. Let me scroll over so you can get that. So this is the pie chart I've made for our membership levels and the amount of people that we have coming in. So obviously, we have the most of supporting partnerships. I do want to highlight that this number includes three members who prepaid in the year 2022. That money is officially up at the end of this fiscal year, so there will not be any more funds for those three organizations. We'll reach out to them and see if they want to renew their membership, but I just wanted to highlight that. Is there any questions about the information on this tab? Okay, y'all, so that's what I have for you today. So I can stop sharing. And of course, if you have more questions, you can reach out to me, and you can also have the CC members send me a quick message, but I'm on Slack, and my email is thetreasurer@folio.org. So I'll turn it back over to you, Peter.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for your anticipation skills and nice and good presentation of our treasurer reports. Thank you. Okay, any questions on this point so far? Great. Okay. Then we go to the next point. The next point was the Folio Members Committee. They made the draft charge. And I will give over for to Mike, Kirsten, and Kristen. And maybe we need some context what has actually happened here and why. Mike, do you start or?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thank you.
So, some of you may know that there's been a group of folks meeting quite regularly, at least over the last year, to deal with to help the Folio Community Council stay in touch with the members subgroup. So we had a meeting at the last WolfCon, and we had a virtual meeting that was hosted by this group. As well during the last year. And so basically, we've been meeting for a while. And as we approached the 2026, we realized that there were no active community council members on the group. and we hadn't really connected as a team with the current community council. And so we had some discussions, and what resulted was us creating this charge so that we can sort of make it well known and commonly understood and official what this group's role would be. And so there are several people who are part of this group, and I think I have that in another slide or another piece. But basically, so basically, we're trying to work today to get an introduction to the community council as to what this group is, what we think this group should do, how it fits into the other members' activity within the community council. And then we're proposing this draft of a charge for the community council to digest. And then hopefully we can get that finalized, and then we can make this group more of an official thing as opposed to sort of a grassroots ad hoc group. So basically, this Folio members committee has been established, or is being established, to be responsible for representing sort of a con be a, being a conduit between the members that Kat just talked about in terms of their membership dues and all that kind of thing, between them and the Folio community and the community council more specifically. So we're trying to make sure that we can represent the members when the community council or others have some questions about how that members, how our members feel about certain issues, but also we can represent and provide information back to the members from the Folio side. So that's generally big picture. That's sort of what we're trying to accomplish here. And so I won't read all of the text that's in the document. I'll let you do that. But I did want to call your attention to this document, which is a recent has been recently updated, that shows a table of Folio member related activities. And so, along with Tom and Paul and members of this group, we sort of got together and hammered out a list of things that need to happen relative to members and communication. And we sort of divvied it out in terms of what groups exist. So where you see member subgroup, that's our Folio members committee. That's they're synonymous, the same thing. And you can see that there's been an identified an outreach group which existed in the past, maybe several years ago, but is going to be rehydrated and recreated, I think. So hopefully. But basically, all of the kinds of activities that we can envision with member organizations, we sort of identified that they need to happen and who would be the lead or participants in those kinds of activities. So I think this is a really good list. And so the document that I'm going to hop back to basically outlines these types of activities in terms of our responsibilities. We are setting ourselves up for some very for some structured deliverables that we have over the course of a year. So a couple of annual meetings, a state of Folio report that we want to provide. We're thinking as per last year, the meeting at WolfCon and also a meeting in between virtually would make sense. And then also sort of as I mentioned earlier, this group would end up helping the community council and others understand sort of the interests and needs of member organizations. And so that's part of our role. So who is in this group? And so we're thinking 6 to 7 representatives, including Folio alums. I think that might mean Folio Community Council alums, but nevertheless, it's obviously we want to have people that are familiar with Folio, the product, and Folio, the community. There's really no guidelines or rules in terms of who can be part of this membership, other than we're hoping to have some people that have been around the Folio project for a while. So people like myself and Kirsten and Kristen Martin and Boaz is part of this group, and then we've had a few other people that have popped in and out. So it's been a pretty diverse group. We do want to make sure that we have at least one member from the community, from the active community council that's a part of this group and attends. And then also if we have any of the folio officers being part of the discussions, that would be great. So we have a scheduled meeting every other week right now, and we basically review for a long time. We were planning the meetings that we're going to have with members. And then more recently, we've turned to sort of formalizing what this group is, how it relates to the community council, et cetera. And so that's the types of activities that we will embark on. We're suggesting that the FMC is formally a group that reports to the community council. So that's basically the gist of all of this is we want to make this official. And obviously we would coordinate with other groups as makes sense. So here are the annual deliverables that we've identified. So an annual survey, assisting in producing the state of folio report that we would then hand over and communicate to the members. WolfCon meetings, also virtual meeting. We would take charge of the members area on Confluence. We would give twice a year summer reports of what the members are thinking and any open issues that they have. And then as needed, recommendations and feedback on any governance, sustainability, membership issues, dues, that kind of stuff. So we're asking you to review this document and provide any comments. That would be great. We're hoping that in the next meeting or two, we can have this confirmed. And so this group can go off with its formal charge. A couple questions. Is the name appropriate? So we've been talking about this as the member subgroup for a while, but then when we started putting this document together and making things more formal, we sort of pivoted to the Folio Members Committee. And so we want to ask if you guys think that's good. And then onboarding is sort of an open issue. So when we look at this table, we have the outreach group and the member subgroup. So the outreach group doesn't exist yet, but we're wondering if this group has any thoughts on onboarding in general. So I am going to, yes, outreach would include onboarding, Alexis. That's sort of what's implied here. So I'm gonna pause and open it up to any of the other subgroup committee folks to speak up for things that I might have missed or skimmed over, and also open it up for questions. Silence.
Well, I think
Awestruck. Everybody's awestruck. It's such an awesome idea.
about the outreach committee, including onboarding, and yeah, that was what we were thinking. We felt like trying to put onboarding to this committee would be a little too much. And then if we didn't have another group that was doing onboarding, this group would end up being the de facto onboarders, and it might be a less than stellar experience for everybody involved.
And I you know, personally, I think that there's a lot of overlap between the types of things that you want to do with outreach. It's sort of, sort of pre-sales and post-sales, if you will, but between outreach and onboarding for consistency there. All right. Well, we're happy to take any more questions. Go ahead, Alexis. Yes.
Would the so I'm thinking about the onboarding slash outreach. Would it be a separate CC subgroup? I mean, I don't necessarily expect you to know the answer to this question, but I'm just thinking separate CC subgroup or a subgroup of the subgroup. What do you think?
I think that in the discussions that I've heard, the idea is that the outreach group is a different group than the members group. Go ahead, Maccabee.
Yeah, just logistically, these two documents that you shared, Mike, are you asking for me to share them with the technical council? And if so, can the permissions be opened up, or do you want everybody to request access individually, the way I did?
I think that's more of a question for the community council folks, but that's our intent is that it gets reviewed, whatever that process is, that people review it and then end up ultimately, hopefully, approving it. Go ahead, Tom.
I think both should be open if they're not. I wanted to make one two comments. First is I think the name committee is an important one. Subgroup doesn't exactly make sense. This group is so aligned with the Folio Community Council, but it's right now there's non-overlapping membership, so we need to figure that out. But also, I think a formally designated committee that includes council participants, but a greater than more than that than current active council members will be an organizational strength. And I think a direction that we need to go as a community is really identifying more formal responsibilities and delegating those to named owners. This is a little bit soupy right now, and that means if it's everyone's job, it's no one's job. So it's fantastic that Mike, Kristen, Kirsten, Boaz and others have stepped in to do this from my perspective. I think that will offer a lot of continuity, especially in a year when there's major change in membership in the councils, as we saw over the last year. The second thing, actually, and Alexis, this comes from you. We're canvassing around for topics, and a colleague who sits in the office next to me on Tuesday through Friday suggested that communication is overdue as a community council topic. So one of the things that we'll be putting onto the docket is in the next block of topics is what should we be discussing as a community council, starting with a review of communication and probably some fusion of communication and outreach and forming a committee would make sense. I think once, assuming that plays out in a helpful way, then looking at the overlaps between a member subgroup and a communications and outreach group makes a lot of sense.
Kirsten, go ahead.
And just while we were talking about that, I would strongly recommend that we have vice versa a member in each group from the member subgroup, or at least a member from the outreach SIG and member subgroup, so that we have this close connection. It's maybe a good idea.
Steve, you hand your hand up for a little
Don't
bit.
be too ex enthusiastic with this proposal.
I don't want to be overly disruptive, but and so I apologize if I am, but we get the budget report. It doesn't look good to me what the budget is. The organization as a whole, the community, feels to me like there's a lot of committees, but there's not a lot of core conversations happening about core product and delivery of a very stable platform, which we're very concerned about. I went in, I thought we would have more money. We do have more money. I could probably get it to pay this year, but I went into the membership thing and I can't justify it in a federal institution paying $50,000 for an extra free Wolfcon registration. There needs to be, and we've had these conversations before. It's going to be too late this year for us to put in more money we could have. So I see these big issues out here, and I see growth of other committees, and it's great. Some of the pieces of this I think are really good. Like a state of the software could be a compelling thing. Like, here's the state of what we have. Here's the state of Folio. Here are some of the risks. Here are some of the challenges. But we're looking internally, like what we can do and what strategies we can implement. Sorry, I put my hand down because I hadn't formulated all my thoughts, but these are like reactions a little bit to this, is that how do we become more action oriented? How do we start addressing more core issues and fixing things more? And there's pieces here that I really like. I'm not trying to disparage this, please. That's not what I'm trying to do. It's just thinking overall and what I've been trying to deal with internally and looking at how we can support the community more financially and not being able to. Just all kind of come to the surface this morning.
Steve, you are describing exactly the kind of things that I want, that I think this committee needs to collect and report back to the Folio, CC, and others. Because it's really like how a member feels, especially about membership dues, I think is really important. And you're not just talking about membership dues, you're talking about many more things than that. But having, and I know exactly what you mean about adding yet another committee or another group of people. That doesn't sound too powerful, but we actually, I think, really do need this group because the voices of members are so important to the success and longevity of the project.
I'll just toss this out here. The next thing that we're going to do this year is our budget is tight, so we don't have a lot of money, but we're trying to scrape together about $500,000 that we're going to put not on new features, but actually finishing and cleaning up some things. What we're going to be looking at is APIs, going in to clean up APIs and try to get some work done to make some of the APIs better. Now we'll prioritize it on some of our needs that we have, like for getting data and extracting, but we want this to have a community benefit. And one thing that we're hoping to do is others who are larger institutions or have resources to start partnering with them, look at platform vulnerabilities, look at ways that things that we might need to refactor things and have those conversations on the side. And then would this be something where could we channel those conversations? How could we begin having those conversations? And I don't want to hear like on the product thing where we have like wish lists, I want this and this and this. We need to be working with people who are actually putting money in, who have contracts in place, who can help get something done. And sorry, but managing wish lists, because we're a very large institution, so I'd spend a lot of my day managing expectations in an organization. You have a couple thousand users, you get a lot of wish list stuff, and it's like, what can we really do and what can get done? And having some of that focus and some outlet for that would be good. I thought about doing this on the side, contacting people, but I'm open to some thoughts about this. Or just tell me to be quiet and mute me. Also works pretty well.
I think it might not be prudent to mute the person who just said $500,000. I think you should, speak more. Steve, you are about, I think last year at the Washington, D.C. summit, and then in July, August, when we did the Folio visioning exercises, big themes that kept emerging is that we need to have more members and more money in the community to fund a stable product. I really liked your phrasing of that. The other thing is we need what I like to call a software marketplace or some way where soft resources can be applied to software development in some rational way, and some way that people with supply and people with demand can meet up and good things get done. I think Paul and I were talking about this last Friday. There are four or five different initiatives or things that are formulating just like what you said. I have money. I want to do something specific, but I also want it to snowball and I want it to be part of something bigger. One of the things that there's a lot of demand. I think you're thank you so much for speaking out and being articulate. I think you're being you're articulating well some truths of the community that may or may not be well perceived. But I think are true. At the same time, we've had several initiatives that have been, I think, very broad about this is how everything could work together. And so far, none of those has caught on, though I think we're beginning to see baby steps. And to channel Caitlin Stewart from LC, your colleague and ours, I was sitting next to her at the tri-council meeting. She says, what's the smallest possible step we could take now that will get us to a better step? So if there is a way to hold out to seed a pot of money with some amount of money from Library of Congress or from Stanford or from Texas A&M or from networks in Germany, I think that would be great. One thing Paul and I had thought we might do as co-chairs is let's have a community council meeting where these different initiatives or proto initiatives each get surfaced. So at least there's some awareness. I think in the past, this has been an issue that's too big, or there's not yet enough alignment where the community council has the ability to pull things together just on its own. But maybe things are coming closer, or maybe good things can happen on the side of the community. So that's one idea, is to at least surface some of these things that are happening and see if we can make some connection points where a bigger thing might develop after that. If you have a different idea, if anyone on this council or on this call has a different idea and a better idea, that would be great.
This seems good. I'd be interested too in engaging someone who in identifying platform risk areas where we might need to think about refactoring code, or we might, we need to do cleanup or finishing. There's a lot of stuff started, and that's one of the problems too. There's a lot of features that are like, it's a good idea, but some of them just are never get quite to the completion, and those introduce problems. But we've seen with our Sunflower upgrade, we were uncovering more of these problems. There's real technical problems that we need to address, and maybe helping to identify those. I mentioned APIs. We're working now with a vendor to address some issues around the race condition, which is causing things not to be indexed. So they look to our staff that are using the system, that they don't have an item, or they don't have a record because there's some collision going on in the indexing. There's problems with the infrastructure, and having a kind of a working list of like some of the bigger problems, if institutions have resources to put on it, maybe we could like share tackling some of these. I'm not sure how we could compile this. It's a little bit different from features. It's more about the core and making sure somebody is investing in the core software and platform. I'm repeating myself, but I don't know how to gather those things and how to get that perspective completely. I think people have experiences in this area that can inform what some of the priorities should be in terms of fixing.
Alexis.
So we discussed something similar in the PC last week. So we have the community priorities dashboard, which is the, more of just the feature specific SIG priorities. But what we're hoping to do is look at, so there's this idea that the PC would somehow come up with a list of the top five things from the community priorities dashboard that we need to focus on as a from the product from the higher level. But what we were talking about last week was more of a not a specific, not like individual, these features are the most important. It's like these themes, kind of like what you were just saying, Steve. Like there are these technical, there's this tech debt, or these thin threads, that things that never fully got developed or are lacking in some way. And seeing that based on what the SIGs have prioritized and seeing what is lacking in the product in this more holistic way, and then exposing that as sort of like this is what the PC thinks is the biggest issues with the product. Again, I don't know how that we would then get to what you were saying about how do we get institutions who have funding to get together and work with vendors to fund the things, but we are thinking similarly about the issues that are the bigger issues with the product.
Can I'd like to circle back, Kat. Not well. I guess the numbers spoke for themselves, and your presentation was quite clear. But it strikes me, if nothing changes, and expenses and income remain the same, we have 2 years. And at that point, what happens? What stops getting done, or what has to find a new source of funding?
I think that AWS costs would have to be cut back, which would be development, right? The other lines, I don't think we would be able to squeak. I mean, we could squeak a little bit, but like, or drop, but like AWS cost really is where it is. We would just cut that and development would stop. Because GitHub impacts that as well, right? There's our budget's really simple. There's not really that much to cut.
So that certainly seems counter to Steve's well-articulated goal of having a more stable product.
Well, development would st I don't know, development wouldn't completely stop, right? I mean, it would just have to take place in a different way if we got rid of the AWS. I mean, we could turn that money into development, actually. We could turn that into, like, here are high vulnerabilities of the platform. We need this fixed. That money could go to that to we could seed the marketplace with some money so we could keep vendors in the marketplace, and vendors could do their own hosting for some of these fixes, potentially, right? I mean, is that, am I just way off on that? I might be off.
I would only venture one comment here, which is not exactly going to answer your question, Steve, which is that there is vulnerabilities about the software being maintained on other organizations' accounts or places of business.
Kristen?
I feel like the conversation is wide-ranging, which is great. I'm not sure where that leaves our Folio Members Committee. I will say, I mean, I have been sitting in on the Community Council, and I feel like what Steve is noting is this is an open source project, and there's a free rider problem, and it's not worth it for institutions to become members and have the product be as open as it is. And so I do feel like that is a kind of a fundamental conflict here that every institution is looking out for what's best for their bottom line, and they're willing to say this is a great project and we want to support it and we want to have open source, but we don't really want to put that much money into it if we're not getting something that we need. And that seems to be the fundamental problem here, and I'm not sure if the way to do that is by restricting what people who aren't members can get so they can't get what they need, or it's more difficult for them to get what they need, or if there's some way to make it so that people feel like they will get what they need if they contribute, and so their own, betterment of the product kind of can come over it. Whereas right now, I guess there just is not enough trust maybe in that the money is going in and is going to do what we need, because putting in a big sort of infrastructure around, well, now we have to sort of do GoFundMe for every type of development. I mean, that was the idea of membership dues, is to provide this type of stable source. And I think, we want to make sure we're giving members what they want, but I do feel like this conflict has come up in Community Council quite a lot lately, and that seems to be the crux of where I see the problem. I don't know that the Folio Members Committee was really thinking about it that way. But maybe that needs to be kind of resolved about how open should the product be and what should we be saying non-members are allowed to do or not do.
Kirsten?
Yeah, Kristin already covered a lot of my thoughts, but I wanted to come back to what Steve just said. We do have members development, and it is happening on non-AWS cloud, like the ERM development, for example. The thing is that we are strictly putting back every single line of code we are developing into the OLF GitHub to ensure that this code is there forever. And it's not always in our interest to do that because we have it on the list later in the agenda, as in the backlog, that we need to talk about maintenance if we want to encourage members to be more active, to take more responsibility. And that was one of those reasons why we all in this group founded this members subgroup to to encourage more members to be more active, because here just a small amount of institution is represented, and the biggest developer company is not even here. That is not a well-balanced thing. And it limits our options to have a good discussion about development, about money, how can we share burdens. It's often easy to raise money just for development. And we can, of course, guide some membership fees if we would have more at relevant ones from the AWS cloud to development. But then we need to ensure that we have always enough money in the account that we can maintain the code over time. And how do we share that? And how do we share that with different interests, even in regions? I mean, we are a very widespread community. In Europe, we might have different interests than in America, talking about data import, for example. So those are really interesting topics, and I think that's it's good when we have the community council coming back to that now. And I would encourage the community council to do so. And I think the member subgroup is eager to help what we can. We bring some experience, and yeah, we are even active part of development. So that's what I would like to say to this.
Thanks, Kirsten. Martina?
I can only agree to what Kirsten just said, and that's why I think, Tom, you suggested earlier that a community council meeting where we might focus on these topics and initiatives would be a good idea. I just want to support that. Coming back to this, to the subgroup or committee that would like to be a formal subgroup of the community council, I just want to support that as well, because like listening to what has been discussed today, I think it becomes more and more apparent that this is really an important working group or an important official group, because transparency is very key between the council and the members. We are discussing that we want to like create benefits for members, and then we need to know what the members want and need and what benefits would be. And like transparency and communication is just key from my perspective. So I strongly recommend that we make this group official and call it committee or whatever.
Thanks, Martina. Alexis?
I just had a thought, based on what Martina just said. We want to know what members want, but if we're trying to grow the membership, we also should try to find out what non-members want and why they're not members. And is that part of what this group is going to do?
We did. We had substantial discussions throughout fall on adding more value for membership. I think Steve's Vanessa said it very well, is why do I care if I get more pixels on my logo? And the WolfCon seats is also maybe about as compelling, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less for some. So the top things that came up were influence on development priorities, training, buying into a network of support, and some technical expertise. There were another eight things on the list, but they didn't score as high in the discussions. Seems like those are still like, and I think Maccabee was part of a discussion, or it was Vanessa. I can't remember. One of you was there and one of you wasn't, but you did a great joint report back at the Mid-Atlantic user group. Sean put together a survey, which some people flirted with, but I think there's probably a small set of things that people are used to paying for software services and support, even in an open source context. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel. I think all of that said, let's tie up the proposed that we have a draft charter for a Folio members committee. This is a draft at this point, so it's open for comment and for review. I guess from those who are on this call, including our liaisons to TC and PC, is 2 weeks sufficient time to review this and discuss any changes or come back and confirm, or would we prefer 4? 2 weeks. I think the thumbs started going up at 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah, great. All right. So if people could make comments on the draft, and then we will add this to the agenda to confirm this or confirm it with changes, presumably at the next meeting. I'm taking the discussion today as generally an approval from the Community Council that this is a useful apparatus. Okay, great. Thanks so much to the subgroup for A, starting to meet, and then B, doing such great work to pull this together. That's excellent. A great example of being action-oriented, as Steve was saying.
Thanks a lot for having us. And I'm just saying the next meeting of the subgroup is the 17th. So if someone is interested to join us, please ping me. And we are eager to read then all the interesting comments which will be on the charter then. Thank you.
Why don't we also pivot? We flirted with several conversational topics or agenda topics for upcoming meetings. There's a two handfuls on the list before we came into today's meeting, and then we've surfaced a couple of more. Why don't I've lost the tab, but why don't we run through, I would suggest run through the ones that are there quickly. We do have two things slotted for the next meeting. And let's see if we can begin to generate some momentum towards meetings in the end of February and March. So I'll share my screen briefly, just so we're all looking at the same thing, because I know I'm not the only person with tabitis. Seeing here, we've had a request for an update on progress for Eureka. And I think that's not so much the technology development, but the state of adoption, state of migration, implications and opportunities for the community. So that might be something to do with colleagues from the technical committee and thereabouts in particular. We've already mentioned communications needs, is that there's some areas of opportunity. Folio communications could be even better. And then that may in fact dovetail with a rehydrated outreach and communications committee. One of the groups that is, there's an effort ongoing since DC last year with around metrics and trying to get repeatable numbers for Folio community, indicators of Folio community size and health. That's something where I think that group could be asked to come back. It seems an important thing to me and one that we would like to continue. So it should also be a committee if it goes forward. Steve hit the nail on the head earlier today. So membership value. Why would people join? What are they going to get out of contributing money? We could do a better job on communicating that. And then also, do we need to re-examine the membership levels before we launch our 2027 membership campaign? The other big general topic we've talked about is what I call the software marketplace or software maintenance strategies. How do we have a stable product? Can we get resources matched to needs and move forward in a more fluid way? Lots of discussions in lots of different places. We've had more of that today. And I heard concurrence that we should explore some of those approaches at an upcoming meeting. That to me seems more urgent than not. So we probably don't want to wait too long on that. Are there any other topics? Is a couple of reactions. Are there any other topics we should add? And are there any that people feel are critical? We do have, I will say, for the next meeting, we've already got an update on WolfCon. We have Jennifer and Jesse will be joining us. And I believe we have, as part of membership value, some words on training. And we'll be confirming this charter or amending, we'll be discussing and hopefully ratifying today's charter for the Folio Member Committee. Yes. Sorry, Steve. We're having Steve says, does membership value levels have some time sensitivity? And I say, yes, I think it does, because we have to kit out if we're going to change any of the levels or do something different with a push to get members, we need to define that before the new membership year starts, well in advance. That was an implicit vote to bring that closer. Are there any other topics? Thanks, Steve. Are there any other topics that people would like to say these are important and or help develop and present?
I just want to jump in and say that I'd like to come back, like maybe around late March or April, since I do need to present the budget for the upcoming fiscal year and I will need to get approval. Also need to reach out to the AWS cost group to make sure that we're all on the same page and I have their estimate for this coming year, so.
Thanks, Kat. Kat's fighting for time on the agenda, you all. Okay. The other thing is the Folio Members Committee will need at least one. It doesn't have to be just one, but there needs to be someone from Community Council who is a regular attendee. And I think the latest charter said is ex officio would be co-chair of the group. So for Community Council members, especially for those of you who want to be involved but maybe still haven't found the best place or something that aligns with your skills and time, please consider that this is a great opportunity that you might want to join this group, especially if you have a passion for outreach. And if there's any indicators now, that's great. Or by the next meeting, we'll have to have at least one person tagged. Okay. Anything more for today? Thanks, Kirsten. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank
Take
you.
care.